If you want as much Super Bowl coverage as humanly possible, go check out TheRinger.com. Go check out The Ringer Fantasy Football Show. Go check out Ryan Russillo, The Ringer NFL Show, The Ringer's Philly Special. Listen to Ringer Gambling Show this week as they either lick their wounds or celebrate how it went. We covered it all. Great week. We sent a bunch of people to Arizona and we did a bunch of good stuff. So check it out on TheRinger.com and The Ringer Podcast Network.
Für alle ein Fest. Zum Aldi-Tiefpreis. Wolwig Naturell. 1,5 Liter für nur 49 Cent. Zuzüglich Pfand. Oder Almare Räucherlachs XXL. 220 Gramm für nur 3,49 Euro. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. I have a new Rewatchables coming on Monday night. You know, it's Valentine's Day on Tuesday, so we said screw it. We did. It's one of the greatest rom-coms of all time. It's in the argument for greatest. Sleepless in Seattle. Me, Julia Littman, Amanda Dobbins. We went, I think, for as long as the movie is. Maybe even like 5 minutes longer. It went all over the map. It was really fun. Anyway, that's coming Monday night, Sleepless in Seattle. Stay tuned for that. Don't forget the Prestige TV podcast is breaking down The Last of Us and Poker Face. And if you love TV stuff, go check out The Watch as well. Chris Ryan and Greenwald. Still cranking it out. They had HBO's Casey Boys on there a couple weeks ago. Really good podcast if you missed that one. Coming up on this podcast, we're going to talk football for the last time this season. It's sad. It's bittersweet. It's especially sad today if you had the Eagles, which I did, as you know. Man, lots to cover for this one. It's all next. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, taping this a little after 8:30 Pacific time. The Kansas City Chiefs are the champions of Super Bowl 57. I predicted it before the season and then abandoned them multiple times and lost money on the Eagles tonight. Sal, will people remember this game for Mahomes or for a garbage call at the end?
I hope they remember it for Mahomes. And I had the Chiefs, by the way, getting a point and a half. My God, I just think, It's weird that we're at a place where we can't even believe them. Like, all right, do we go with the most courageous, miraculous comeback of all time for a person who like should have his leg amputated? Or is this a fake injury? And now I'm hearing more fake injury than anything else. Now he's Cowboy Bob Orton all of a sudden with the arm, with the cast that was on for 3 years too long.
You know, I was watching SportsCenter after. And Mahomes did a stand-up interview with Chris Berman and Steve Young and Booger and was just standing on the set for 5 minutes casually talking about the game. And I'm like, I thought his ankle was bent five different ways. What's going on? What's the real
story? And sprinted to get to Berman, right? He was like, oh, he's over there. All right, I can get there in under 3.5 seconds. Well, he could get to me all the way.
Well, maybe this will lead to a new... football philosophy where teams will pretend their guys hurt more than it is or whatever, because it worked.
See?
I mean, it was one of the reasons people were picking the Eagles this week was, Mahomes, he can't really move. Hit the key play of this game. What did he scramble for, 30 yards? How long was that?
And like at some point when you're running that fast and that far, whenever you come down, that's it, man. It's going to hurt. It's going to sting. Like unless they carry you into the end zone, you're in trouble. But that was when I thought, oh, come on. He got right up. He shook it off. It is a weird thing, but I mean, he won MVP. He's plus 130. You were going to give it to him anyway. He had under 200 yards passing, right? But the three touchdowns and just, I guess, by the fact just being in there and everything else, he deserves it.
He was awesome. After he hurt his ankle, he went 13 for 14 for 92 yards and 2 TDs.
Jesus.
And we could talk about the bad ref stuff, but I think we should talk about Mahomes, and I think we should talk about how bad the Eagles' defense was for what we were expecting. They sucked. I can't remember. Can you remember three plays they made? Like somebody tagged Pacheco in the fourth quarter, really good hit. That was a good play. Yep. They didn't tip a pass. They didn't create a turnover. I don't think they had, did they have a sack, or they had a sack where Mahomes ran out of bounds, but it turned out it was
UBM? The Chiefs had a sack when Hurts ran out of bounds. The Eagles, I don't think, had a sack. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, how many games do we see where, but a quarterback, he should have had three interceptions. Nothing close at all with that for Mahomes, right? That wasn't really one play It's like, wow, that should, and I needed Mahomes to throw an interception to cash like a pretty substantial parlay. The only, on the other side too, like I think Hurts only threw one ball up for grabs. Otherwise it was very clean, no sacks, no nothing, no holds really called until that last one, which made it even worse.
The Mahomes resume, 2-time Super Bowl champ, 2-time Super Bowl MVP. That's a pretty small list. Mm-hmm. Twice an MVP. He has been twice the passing touchdowns leader, once the passing leader, has made the Pro Bowl 5 years in a row. And this feels like the start of something like that. There's some GOAT potential now because you need to get those two early. Brady got the three early and then
he needed to win this one for sure. Yep.
Yeah. Then it's a little bit different. And they caught lightning in a bottle in some ways with how well they did with the draft, which was, you know, you give them credit for that. But at the same time, when you have this many rookies, they make that big gamble with the Tyreek Hill trade. You really have to hit your draft. And they did. They took a bunch of like gambles on the Schuster, Kadarius Toney, those type of guys, and all of them made plays in this game. Schuster was the one that got interfered with at the end. Toney made a big punt return off one of the worst punts in the history of the Super Bowl. A line drive that was directed in a way that Toney could just get the running head start. That was big. But they patched this together and it was really impressive team building. And at the same time, I felt like they could have lost every one of the playoff games.
When do you start talking, putting him in the conversation with Montana and Brady? 4 out of 5? He has to win 4 out of 5 Super Bowls or 3 out of 4?
Yeah, it's so early. It's such a race now, especially like in the podcast era where every podcast has to have some sort of big sweeping narrative, whatever. But, you know, he's
I heard Mark Maron talking about it. I was like, whoa, calm down, dude.
He's talking about his HBO show.
Yeah.
He's certainly hitting all the checkpoints, which is the big thing. Right. And I think the thing for me is all the stuff adds up together. Like Kellerman had a tweet that I liked today that I randomly saw where he said the eyeball test says they're the best. The stats corroborate that impression. And their team wins the most. And that's what Michael Jordan had. And that's why we ended up settling him as the GOAT. And Mahomes is hitting those checkpoints. So I agree with Max. I thought that was a smart point. Yeah. But there's so much work left and there's so much luck that goes into this. And, you know, I think like Brady ended up, he got the 7, he got the 6 with the Pats. And that 7 easily could have been 10. It also could have been 3, you know? Mm-hmm. So you got to win.
You're very mature. You're very mature the way you're analyzing this, I have to say.
Well,
I think most Patriots fans say that 7 should have been 10.
Right. I lost money on Philly, but I never felt awesome either way. I mean, there's a reason the line was 1.5. And, you know, you're thinking like, if you're taking KC, your theories were don't bet against Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Don't bet against Vegas, which we should talk about in a second. Don't overreact to the dominant team that had the bad schedule, which is basically Philly, all the quarterbacks. That was a big talking point last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then something I didn't realize, there was a little nobody believes in us with the Chiefs offensive line, which a couple people mentioned. Like, we're taping this podcast. It was actually probably about an hour plus after the game. And that was the theme in the post game where they were like, oh, yeah, we saw all the stuff about Hassan Reddick as the MVP fit. Like, they saw all that stuff.
Right.
And the offensive line was awesome today. Certainly better than I thought they were going to be. Did you think that was going to be a problem for them today? Because I did.
I didn't think it would be as big a problem as it was against Tampa when they couldn't get anything off, right? Mahomes is running for his life. But I don't know if he's smarter or the offensive line is better. I guess it was just better. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I bet a bunch of Eagles to get a sack and they didn't. Fletcher Cox and all the guys. But I have to say, Andy Reid, you know, not as much praise as Mahomes. But for God's sakes, when those guys are wide open for touchdowns, that's all Andy Reid. Right?
Yeah.
That's all him. And I wonder, there's talk about, well, he's going to step down now. Does he stay in there to get it up there with Belichick and those numbers with some of the greats so he can be put in the list with the top 2 or 3?
What's he going to do? Like, go play golf? Like, that was the best game I've ever seen him coach.
I know.
They had, I thought they were kind of working the Eagles like a yo-yo, especially in the second half. Some of that, whatever they did at halftime, whatever they saw, and who knows with halftime adjustments, that halftime was so long, you actually had time to put some thought into it. All that motion stuff, the way it was working for them, it almost makes you wonder why don't like high school teams do this college team? Just send people back and forth, flying around, doing the thing where it seems like they're going to the quarterback and they stop quick and go the other way. There was that.
You're probably gonna confuse one guy on defense, right? Isn't that all you need to do with stuff right. like that? Yeah.
Well, they had that one play, and it was the second to last touchdown where they had the two guys on the right, mm-hmm. and it was Kelce and the other guy went in motion, and the Eagles only had two guys on that side. And even before the snap, you're like, oh, this isn't good.
Right.
And then he ends up catching it. Both guys go with Kelce, and they...
The Sky Moore touchdown?
Yeah. Yeah, the Sky Moore touchdown. Yeah. Just a wide open.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, where you're just like, wow, they're just completely outthinking them. I don't feel like the Eagles can come out of this game and go, man, we blew it. Because they never got to stop. Mm-hmm. Like if anything, it was a little fluky because you had the fumble touchdown. So it felt like the Eagles had the ball for like an hour at one point. But every time the Chiefs, the last in the second half, it was three touchdowns and a field goal. And they were cruising every time.
I mean, we talked about the bad call, whatever, the no call, although I'm a little less outraged. By the way, people should listen to me. I bet the Bengals and I bet the Chiefs. I bet the Bengals 2 weeks ago and wasn't blaming the refs. I bet the Chiefs today and we're like, well, that call sucked and that's not a way we should lose. But since then, Bradbury's like, yeah, I tugged his jersey. I altered the route. I was hoping they didn't call it. It's like, ah, crap. Now it really is. You just can't call that in that spot. It wasn't, hey, there was no hold at all there. The refs are blind, right? So that does suck. But yeah, I think you're right. The most surprising thing in this game is nobody analyzed this game for 2 weeks and said the Eagles are going to get pushed around. The Chiefs are going to score close to 40, right? That didn't come out of anyone's mouth. And by the way, the talking heads like us, like I think these were the two best teams. They deserve to be in the Super Bowl. And then, but you have to pick a team. So you have to say something bad about the other. It's a really weird thing, right? Like, you're picking between your best friends. But yeah, this one does. Like, yeah, but the three of you hang out all the time. That was not like, I do think the Eagles were great. They took a swing in free agency. They did well. Jalen Hurts is terrific. What did he have, like 44 fantasy points? Is that like the second most of all time in Super Bowl record? Yeah. So I can't speak too ill of that. I will say time possession was 32-13. You got to win that game going into the fourth quarter. You have to win that game if you're the Eagles.
I would pick them again. I really
don't
would.
Do it. Like, don't do it. You lose.
Yeah, but guess what? I'm going to lose because they already lost the game. There was one point, I wrote this down. It was when it was 27-21. And this really hurt them when they didn't get the touchdown. They just settled for the field goal. So, and I think we were at the official point of the game where it's like, you've got to get touchdowns, not field goals. They didn't have a choice. They didn't get it.
Right.
But they're up 27-21. They had run 60 plays and KC had run 30.
Jeez.
They run twice as many plays. Mm-hmm. At that point, you should put away the game. And I think if you're an Eagles fan, this has to be the worst. Like, I know the McNabb against the Patriots loss was bad and the 10-minute, 2-minute drill and all that stuff. Right. But the Pats were still better that whole season. And I just didn't think the Eagles didn't play that well. This one would really haunt me because I don't know what happened to the defense. If I'm an Eagles fan, I'm just like, what happened to our defense? Mm-hmm. Where were they? How did we not have one blitz off the weak side just nailing Mahomes? How did we not step in front of receiver? Nothing. We got beat by Sky Moore and Schuster and all these fucking dudes. Kelce's open for the entire first quarter. Like,
well,
what
that's
were
the
we
thing.
Doing?
So I guess we have to just accept that. Like, that guy's going to be open. Nobody's figured out how to cover him. And if it's set, 4 or 14 yards downfield, he's a given. He's open. But you're right. The Sky Moores, the Tonys, these guys, these crazy plays. Juju, what they kept Valdez-Scantling in chat. I don't think he had a reception. I'm pretty sure he did. I bet him over the crack and
he
goals.
Didn't. But I mean, what killed them was the running was what killed them. 26 for 158. Pacheco was 15 for 76. And they were running like a tougher team.
Yeah, they looked a little gassed, to be honest. The Eagles, they'll get pushed around. I'm not saying Hurts wouldn't have scored either.
Their team ran 60 of the first 90 plays.
I know. And they had a 45-minute halftime. I'm not sure how it worked out. But yeah, they seemed unprepared.
My theory was they had so much momentum going into halftime. And then they watched the Rihanna, that show was incredible. And they're watching like, oh my God, look how high she is. So she might fall. And they just got thrown out of their game. They were just blown. Maybe a lot of Rihanna fans in the in the Eagles locker room. I don't know.
That might have been it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, lost with Rihanna.
The second half, they were just brutal. And then, you know, Devontae Smith finishes with 100 yards, seven catches, 100 mm-hmm. yards. A.J. Brown, 6 for 96. Goddard, 6 for 60. Hurts throws for 304. He runs 15 for 70. Kind of feels like that, like everything is just lining up. Now, there are other running backs. Gainwell and Sanders were 14 for 37. Mm-hmm. But I think you made the key point. Like, I did not expect the Eagles defense to get pushed around. It really felt like they got pushed around. They just didn't pressure Mahomes. And anytime they got a little bit of pressure, they didn't close the deal on him.
Yeah. Even with the 10-point lead, you didn't feel like they were out of it. And I think I texted you and House and Hench. I was like, plus 162 going into the fourth quarter. I'm not going to be able to do this again all year. But everybody was so sunk into the Eagles at that point. Yeah, under 200 yards passing, and he wins the MVP and deserved it.
Well, one of the things with Mahomes, he's assumed the imaginary, it's not even imaginary, I don't know what the right word is, but Brady used to have it, where you're just thinking like, that's too much time, or, they should be up more. You left them too big of a window. He's going to come back and get this. Like, even when the Eagles mm-hmm. score, they're down 8. They go down, they get a touchdown, they get the 2-point, they make it 35-35. And in normal football situations, you're thinking, that team has all the momentum. Oh my God, the Chiefs have to be reeling. And with KC, you're just looking at it going, oof, 5 minutes for Mahomes. They might not get the ball back. Chiefs are going to get out or at least get a field goal. Yeah. There's no other quarterback like that. And I don't know who else for you has kind of been in that territory, right? Brady, definitely. I think Manning was there for a little while. Pretty long.
For me, as a Cowboys fan? Just
in general, like betting against them or watching them, whatever, in our lifetime. Nah. That list is like less than 9 guys.
Yeah.
Where you're like,
five, I think. I don't think it's... Yeah, well, who is it? You wouldn't put like Lamar Jackson. I'm trying to think of like the best quarterback.
No, like...
Josh Allen, I wouldn't put in there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Elway for me is in there because I was always just completely terrified of Elway. And we just saw mm-hmm. him do it so many times at the end.
And Marino, Fouts. Yeah, a couple of those.
You put
guys,
Fouts
maybe.
In there? I never got to see Fouts enough.
I just feel like they move the ball a lot. You know, I don't know. I guess I have to look at like fourth quarter comebacks and stuff like that. But you know,
Favre was one of those where if you bet on him, you were worried mm-hmm. he was going to go throw a pick. And if you bet against him, you were worried that he was going to come down and beat you. Both sides were worried with Favre.
Right.
Everything was in play. TD, interception, whatever. And there's been guys that had like little runs. I think, you know, Burrow was basically in the same situation 2 weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's in that Mahomes situation. He goes down and gets some points. You go to the Super Bowl and he couldn't get it done. So we were talking Mahomes and Burrow 2 weeks ago. And Mahomes grabbed it. All right. Let's take a break. This episode is brought to you by Crown Royal. Speaking of Crown Royal, you may have caught their Super Bowl ad with Dave Grohl, who's been on this podcast. It was fantastic. He was thanking Canada for all the things people didn't know were invented by Canadians. Today was, of course, the biggest football Sunday of the year, the Battle of the Kelce Brothers and two young QBs. It's an event known around the world, and some have been known to call it American football, especially if they're soccer fans. But did you know football was actually invented in Canada? Buckle up, because what we know now is football started in an 1874 game between Harvard and McGill, a famous Canadian university. I know somebody went there. In 1875, Harvard played Tufts using the same rules that in 1876, Walter Camp, now known as the father of American football, codified the rules of the sport. And we were off. I wish he had codified the refs. You know who else, speaking of Canadians that invented things? I don't think Lorne Michaels gets enough credit for being a Canadian guy that changed the face of comedy in 1975 when he put together Saturday Night Live. Not only did he put it together, he attacked just the way network TV was at the time. It was very old school. You know, it was like a lot of variety shows, a lot of like Carol Burnett, Flip Wilson, catering to older audiences. And Lorne Michaels comes in, grabs all the best young improv people from around the country. He was tapping in from Groundlings, all these different places, and just created this show that he knew was going to be the counterculture show. Now you think like it's been almost 50 years for Saturday Night Live, but Going Backwards, man. That was the show. That was a show that at its heyday, I think, was getting 30 million people in the late 70s. So we think of that now. I mean, the Super Bowl gets 30 million people. That's it. But that is five full decades SNL at this point, and it has a bigger impact on comedy than any television show ever, invented by a Canadian. Also invented, apparently, football. Thanks for football, Canada, which is really what the Crown Royal ad is all about, being thankful. Love that about him. Crown Royal, live generously and life will treat you royally. Please drink responsibly. All right, so on the call, I didn't want to lead with the bad call at the end, and Bradbury admitted he pulled his jersey. I guess the thing for me is there's stuff like that happens every play, and they kind of have to decide,
yeah,
is this actually affecting the game or not? That was very close to the line. I didn't like the call. There was other stuff I saw during the game where I'm like, whoa, can't believe they let that go. It felt like the kind of game where they were letting stuff go a little bit. And that was, you know, pretty on the line. I just don't like it. I don't like that on a 3rd and 8. Mahomes' pass wasn't close. Just in general, it's just a bummer. But, you know, the thing about it is that's been the season. We've had a million of those. And this is what we talked about. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago about it. It's just what we do now, where we just like gravitate toward complaining to the refs. But, I think the Eagles probably should have lost anyway because they couldn't get a stop. I just don't like the call. I just wish they'd let it go. I don't think people would have gone nuts if they let it go. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. I agree with every single thing you just said. You probably don't call it there. It has a little less bite when the D-back admits he tugged the jersey and it altered the route, you know, and whatever. So, you know, if it was a call in the second quarter, we dismiss it or we lump it together with all the other close calls. But you don't want to end the game there. And then what follows, which makes it worse, right? A Chief not scoring, going down at the one, Mahomes taking two steps back, setting up for the field goal. It feels shitty, right? And if you're an Eagles fan, you don't want to. But I think keep focus on the fact that Patrick Mahomes ate you up in the second half. And that's why you lost. By the way, they had a touchdown taken away. Like, I'm not sure. I don't know what's a catch. To me, it's like, yes, they're really really putting this under the microscope, and it sucks to spend 10 minutes on these things. I wish they could figure out something. I watched with Carolla, which is like, you're going to be like, his thing, and I laugh at it, except he repeats it for 45 minutes, but it's like, it's a catch if he caught the ball, and you laugh at it, but it's true. It's like, did he catch the ball? It's like, yeah. Well, then it's a catch. It's like, if the D-back was never born, and Sanders turns up field and fumbles on his own, it's a fumble. So why take that touchdown off the board? I hate it, hate it, hate it. You and I watch thousands of football games a year or thousands of hours, and we still couldn't tell you what a catch is. They have to figure that out.
We were texting during the Goddard play when they reviewed that, and I was like, look, I don't know. This could go either way.
I know. I don't care.
I've seen them call it a catch. I've seen them call it an incomplete. But depending on the game.
But just, this is where the fans might know better. Like, do you care if the ground caused the ball to move a little? Do you care if the ball moves a little? I don't care. You're taking away athletic plays. You know what I mean? But out of those two, between that and like the quarterback sneak on 4th and 1, that to me, that's what's got to be fixed, because that should be the most exciting play in football, the 4th and 1. And now it's like, it's got the excitement of an extra point. Like, I don't even look when I see Jalen Hurts on 4th and 1/2 yard. I know he's going to make it because they could run that rugby play where three guys shove him up in the ass and then he goes forward, lunges forward for 6 yards. So I would change that over anything. Yeah.
That play is going to be gone in about a year when somebody breaks their back. No, somebody's going to get seriously hurt in that play. It's going to happen. These guys are too big. They're always, it's not rugby. These guys are, there's 330 pound guys out there.
Yeah.
I was thinking at one point when it felt like the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl, and I was thinking about what a strange season and team it was, where they never really got the respect the whole time. They never really played anybody that much. There was a point like around week 3, week 4, where we were like, holy shit, they might actually go like 15-2 just looking at their schedule. Mm-hmm. And it felt like the legacy of the team partly was this goofy 4th and 1 play that they came up with.
Yeah,
but it's like, oh, you know, every year there's a team that wins the Super Bowl and you think like, oh, what was that team? And you can think of like three things. So with this Eagles team, I would have thought of like the two receivers, you know, Hurts basically mastering a lot of this RPO and all this stuff. But really the four, how unstoppable they were and short yardage and how over and over again they could just turn these four play first downs. And it, when they had 60 plays and the Chiefs had 30, it was like, yeah, that's kind of the Eagles where they just prolong these possessions. They had three 13-play, 75-yard, 11-play, 75-yard, like just where they just seem like they have the ball for an hour. And it's not that fun to watch. But I was like, all right, this is how I guess we'll remember them. And then Mahomes just stole it.
Yeah, and because they had the best line of scrimmage in football, right? Offensive line. They have the best line of scrimmage. They had the best offensive line in football. And that's why they can move the ball. And that's why they can get four at a clip. And Hurts was so great. And that's why I wouldn't think Andy Reid would say, well, our best bet is a 38-35 slugfest, right? But that's exactly what it turned into be. I thought maybe, all right, if they're going to win, it's going to be 19-16 and points are going to be tough, or, you know, 24-20 or somewhere in there. But they just like, they're like, you know what? Match us score for score. That quarterback thing is real. You know, you played garbage most of the year. Sorry, Eagles fans are going to hate to hear this, but, you know, what did they do? Rodgers put up 33 against them. Prescott put up 40 against them. And and the rest of, and then it was Danny Dimes six times and Kenny Pickett. So,
and the Chiefs played a cleaner game in the sense that no turnovers. They, Hurts had the fumble touchdown. That's a huge play. They felt like they were just going to score on every drive when that happened, you know, and that, that hurt the game. The punt that set up the Tony thing was bad. The Chiefs really only had the Bucker missed field goal was the only like bad play for them. There were some smaller ones, but
the offsides, the Frank Clark offsides.
Yeah, I guess the two small offsides. Yeah, those prolonged drives. Naughty, but on the flip side, the Eagles D just was repeatedly just letting these guys wide open on huge plays. Right. But yeah, the Chiefs just never gave them the dumb turnover on anything. Yeah. There was no fumble. There was no like tip pass up in the air. Nothing. We should mention Vegas needed the Chiefs to win. And the online sports books needed the Chiefs to win. Most of the action was on the Eagles. They kept that line at 1.5 for 2 weeks. The Chiefs money never really came in. A couple times, a couple places like drifted it to Chiefs plus one, but for the most part, it stayed at 1.5. And I think most of the money was on the Eagles. And I was thinking like gambling manifesto stuff. Like Mahomes just might be, he's off the board now, where he's getting a lot of the same calls that, you know, we used to get. We, I mean, my beloved Patriots. But on top of it, like him as an underdog in a situation where the powers that be needed the Chiefs to win, maybe we should have known. Maybe that should have been a bigger red flag than anything.
But how are they going to move that? How much are they going to move the line? If you move it to Chiefs minus 2.5, they still cover, right? So I don't know. Does that scare people away from betting on them? I think you're right. I just, but that might have been bulletin board material too. Like, wasn't Mahomes like a favorite in 14 straight playoff games? And between that and hearing about how they're going to, you know, decimate that offensive line, then yeah, maybe that was enough to give him some energy, even though they were down 10 in the third.
He's come through in all of these except that weird Bengals game last year when I think I'm always going to think he was concussed in that game. All right, more stuff. The Andy Reid 2-time ring club. How many coaches do you think have 2 rings?
Ooh.
I looked this up and I was surprised by the answer.
Jimmy Johnson. 5.
It's 13.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Belichick 6, Chuck Noll 4, Bill Walsh 3, and Joe Gibbs 3. And then the 2-timers are Reed, Lombardi, Tom Flores is in there, your guy Jimmy Johnson. Seifert won 2. Mike Shanahan, Coughlin, Parcells, Landry, and Shula. It's a really nice list.
That is a bad job by me, Billy. I should know. I don't say 5. It's 13. Come on.
Fire me from my own trivia show. The only outliers there are Flores and Seifert, I think.
You don't want to say Coughlin?
No, because he was a good coach. Like, they were in the mix, you know?
I don't know if they won a playoff game. Yeah, but I don't know if they won a playoff game other than
Yeah, they went 4-0 twice, basically.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, maybe Coughlin's a borderline. Well, if it pisses off the Giants fans, let's do it. Yeah, we'll throw them in there. But for the most part, all the great coaches are on there, right? So I think, you know, Andy Reid was certainly one of the best two or three coaches of the 21st century.
So, I thought he was great today. I really do. I give him a lot of the credit for the offensive play call. Now you could be like, well, what about the defense? They didn't show up. But I really, in key spots, and you can't give the coach all the credit for no tip balls or no interceptions, but he knew to beat this team, he had to go turnover free. And he had them ready. And he really did.
Great job by him. I also was thinking how many awful Super Bowl calls will we remember? Because I do think people remember this one.
Mm-hmm.
Shorter list than I remember. The most famous one, at least recently, was the Michael Crabtree getting held by Jimmy Smith on the 4th and 5 in the Ravens-Niners game, which was a big deal, but I think because it was Ravens-Niners, not like, I guess Niners are a pretty big market team. I don't know why that one hasn't lasted. Why do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I was outside with Jacoby. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I ever saw it. No, I know. You're right. I think the bigger ones were non-calls, Seahawks-Steelers.
Yeah, the Seahawks-Steelers came up. There was an OPI and Daryl Jackson that everybody got really mad about that one. There was that Cardinals-Steelers Super Bowl. There was a really weird Kurt Warner fumble that turned out it probably was an incompletion and they called it wrong and they couldn't change it. That was bad. But for the most part, not a lot of like famous bad Super Bowl calls. So this one's going to move top of the list. In the research, though, found out in the first Super Bowl, 1967, they did the second half kickoff twice because the first time they were interviewing somebody and they missed the kickoff on the telecast and they just made everybody go back out and do it again.
My God.
They redid it just because they missed it on the TV. Can you imagine if that happened now?
Wait, did Hench lose his mind?
Hench wasn't born yet, but he
was like 6 months old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Another thing I had for you. Remember that moment when it seemed like Philly had a chance to win like 3 titles? You know, it was like, oh, the Phillies are going to win.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the Eagles, they have a chance to go undefeated and Embiid and Harden. And oh, my God, look at this situation in Philly. Well, the Phillies lost in the World Series and then the Eagles lost in the Super Bowl. How many titles do you think the city of Philadelphia has won in the last 40 years since the 83 Sixers?
I think I have to say 13 again, right? Because last time I said 5. No. Man, I can't think of it. 2?
Yeah, 2.
Is it 2?
The Phillies had that one in, was it 2008? And then the Eagles had the one against the Pats, and that's it, 40 years.
Wow.
They've been runner-ups 10 times. Mm-hmm. Including twice in the last 4 months.
I'm hoping this doesn't work.
Just pointing this out.
I know everyone's on board with Hurts and everything, but when a team goes crazy spending in free agency, the next year, usually they get slammed, right? Hasn't that how it's been going the last few years?
You would think.
Keep it going.
You would think. Runner-up city. Jalen Hurts' Hail Mary, we haven't discussed yet.
Yeah, why did it go 25 yards?
Now, he has a bad
shoulder,
I guess. I had a bad shoulder this whole time throw? It went like 35 yards?
It really did. Could you, do they get killed if they bring Minshew in for that?
Hurts threw other passes longer than that in the game.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, the Devonta Smith one where he went out of bounds at the 2. Yeah, yeah.
His shoulder must have just...
Yeah, that's not how you want to end the season right there. You know he got an octopus? You know what an octopus is?
What do you mean?
You score the touchdown, and then you get the two-point conversion. Octopus.
It's called an octopus? Since
when? There's 8 legs. I don't know. I only saw it this year. I'm not sure why it's 8 legs. Octopus, because you have 2 legs, and then you score. And then,
that's
another 2.
On.
20 to 1 odds, though. You could bet it. That it was an octopus.
Cerruti said that Hurt said his cleat got caught and he slipped, which is why he didn't put
enough
really?
On
that.
That's what
final.
I would say too.
Yeah.
That's exactly the same thing.
That sounds like a great explanation.
Did you think you had the right side when Sirianni was crying during the anthem?
I did. Thought
you
it
did.
Was a great sign.
You thought that was
I
it?
I was excited for it. I have one other thing for you. The dynasty thing. Some people are trying to get that going tonight. Is this a dynasty? It's like you've won twice in 4 years. You know my feelings on this. I go nuts. Like, come on. Win four in like a compact amount of time. Even the Warriors, I wasn't totally there because they missed the playoffs and they lost a play-in game. And like a dynasty, you have to be good for a while and you need titles. So
is football the toughest of the four sports to make it to the finals? That's the only thing I'll say.
You need a lot of luck.
I think three. I would say four in baseball, four in basketball. I would almost put three in the NFL.
Is the sport where somebody wins the title and there's three teams they beat over the course of the way who are like, fuck that, we were better than those guys. It comes down, like there's no way Cincy thinks Casey was better than them.
I know, it's so close. Right? They're watching this
tonight going nuts. They're like, oh my God, we would have killed this Philly team.
Right.
Jesus.
But you and I go into every year and Mahomes is 6-1 to win MVP and the Chiefs are 6-1 to win the title. And we're like, let's just keep betting this. And it's going to come in once in the next 6 years. And they both won.
There was a tough Chris Berman moment tonight. I don't know if you knew about it yet.
I didn't see it. What was it?
He was talking about the two black quarterbacks starting today. And he did this kind of dramatic pause and he said, and on February 12th, Abe Lincoln's birthday. And then he threw it to the highlights and it's not going to go well for the next 24 hours. Wasn't great. You got to watch it for the dramatic.
He's really good with birthdays. He remembers everyone's birthday, that Chris Berman. God bless birthday. Him. I even get a card. Abe Lincoln.
And then Rihanna, the halftime show was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think people are going to remember that and the call and Mahomes will be the three things from the Super Bowl. Go backwards to Rams Bengals last year. Like it's been a year. What do you remember? I just remember Cooper Kupp getting open over and over again.
That's nothing. We were there. Well, no, that's
Aaron Donald made a big play on the fourth down.
That halftime was good, wasn't it? That was pretty great, wasn't it?
And the halftime was great. Yeah, those three things.
Yeah, there's nothing else. But what is it? Bitch Better Have My Money, 10-1, 11-1 to be her first song. Big upset.
Let's take a break and then I want to do some of the betting.
Okay.
The betting, and then you got to tell us stories from the party. All right. So what do you have for the big betting moments tonight?
Well,
what happened?
The big, you know, when we were down 10, when the Chiefs were down 10, I mean, I think everybody.
You're on the Chiefs now?
I'll tell you why I was like, put our guy Jody Fortson in. He's going to turn this game around. And Coach Reed, I think that was the only thing he didn't do right. That was my Gary Russell pick. I'm not even sure he stepped on the field. I don't even think they let him step on the field.
Didn't see
when
him.
They were passing the trophy around. So bad job by me there. What else? Hurts, 3 or more touchdowns, 25-1. That was a big winner.
Wow. I didn't even think of that. Holy shit.
Well, even
25-1?
Even two was like close to 10-1.
Oh, man.
Purple Gatorade was 11-1.
Devontae Smith running out of bounds when.
Right.
Because he kind of lost his balance when that was an easy touchdown. Then Hurts gets it. And that's a 25-1.
And the Gainwell touchdown that was overturned, right? So that's how he got his first. So yeah, there was some. But yeah, that would have been. That was 25-1. Purple Gatorade. I don't know when we saw purple last. I was talking about with Kyle before. I think blue hit 3 out of the last 4. Purple was 11-1 also. We had under for the anthem. Again, the fighter jets, they come over and on the word brave, and then the audio gets so mixed up. You don't know when the word ends and when what you're hearing, the propelling. I don't know. But I was watching with Huey Lewis, great rock and roller, still not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for some reason. I bet the under, and he's like, God, he's making a meal out of it. Which means he's taking his time for Stapleton, and yet it still stayed under. So it was nice to win the first bet of the day with that.
You know, one of the bets that I threw in a parlay, but I think the other part of that lost. But the first kickoff was going to be a touchback.
Yeah,
like
I had
minus
that too.
-136. That was a layup.
Did you? Oh, you said. Oh, I went the other way. Did you see the? No, because I read an article about how they'd use different balls. And I think like 7 out of the last 10 years, it hasn't been a touchback. But it looked weird from the kicker's perspective. It looked like he knuckleballed it and then like nobody wanted to field it. But
right.
I called that wrong. I had tails. That was nice. But
we talked about Butker miss the possibility of him missing a field goal, which wasn't on some sites, wasn't on FanDuel, was on other ones, and then he missed a field goal. And I think that was like, the odds were pretty good on that, weren't they?
Yeah, plus 330 or something, I think, for a missed field goal. I saw that not on the main sites, but to hit the goalpost or crossbar, 20-1.
A doink?
So, doink was 20-1. I did all the dumb crap, over 2.5 players to throw a pass. We would have been robbed of a good ending, but Henny coming in, I thought for sure we would have seen him on one drive. The crossboard parlays, I just got crushed. I really, LeBron not playing last night. I have Lakers and Warriors points over. It didn't matter because he went crazy, but Hurts passing yards. Did you do any of the crossboards?
I didn't, because it's so hard to figure out who's playing. One of the ones I had was Gainwell over rushing and receiving. I did that this weekend, but I think I tied it to something I tied it to the Eagles winning, and of course they didn't win. But it felt like that was going to be a Gainwell game, and he was at least a little bit involved. The Pacheco one, though, there was running receiving stuff with him. There was the rushing thing hit with him. Those were good. But that all the sacks bets lost. I mean, if all you learn anything, lost. It's like don't, you know, Hassan Reddick, by the time game time started, he was like minus 190 for a sack. he was like a heavy favorite. Sacks are hard, you know? Nobody averages one sack a game ever except for like Bruce Smith and
but no sacks? Guys. Are we ever going to see no sacks? It's crazy. I know. I had Cram. I had Chris Jones. I had Fletcher Cox, and none of them came through. I had Kelsey to score a touchdown. Kelsey to score the Chiefs' first touchdown. I was hitting a few of those, but I ended up losing on dumb crap. That's a thing. I had 43 props, and it's like, do I need ecstasy? I definitely think I have enough edible gummies. Oh, well, there's Molly too. Okay, let me do that. Like at the end of the week, it's just a.
Did you have Serena Williams doing two different liquor ads during the same game?
Did she really? I had trouble following the commercials.
0.5 liquor ads for her. She was in two. One of them was she did, it was like the Any Given Sunday speech.
Really?
For Remy was something. And she basically did the Pacino Inches speech, but it was kind of terrible. And it's like, this was like a big cribbing from movies to make like the commercial this year because they had the Caddyshack one. But this is where we need our sports movie consultancy again, where they just come to us and be like, hey, we're thinking of doing the Pacino Any Given Sunday speech, the Inches speech. It's like, nope, off limits. Don't do that. It's a win. Stay away. Caddyshack, like maybe you could talk me into that one. Like, all right, that'll be fun.
Some things just can't be ruined. Stop it. Yeah.
Yeah. Romo was the Carl Spackler.
Yeah.
And the Caddyshack one. Like, that's fine. But Any Given Sunday, off limits.
What about Jeff Ross roasting Peanut, the Planters Peanut guy? He really
I was going to say, we had Jeff Ross roasting a peanut. We had Will Ferrell as a zombie. Affleck did a Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
We had Sly Stallone reprising Cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. We had the Clueless people were back. And, and Travolta doing like a Grease kind of takeoff.
Was that supposed to be John Travolta?
It was John Travolta.
You fell for that?
Miles Teller was doing a weird dancing ad. And then the big one was there was like a minute long Jesus ad.
Yeah,
did you see that one? No,
a couple of them too, right?
But there was one that was like, there was like 5 minutes left in the game and it was pretty grim for like a minute. And then it was like they threw the Jesus ad at us.
I had Scientology like, plus 3.5 over Jesus.
Over Jesus?
And I lost it. Yeah, I thought that was a lot.
I'm surprised that Jesus is advertising like this.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, a lot of praying during these games.
I don't remember a terrible ad, but I admittedly, I was with my dad and Michael Bob and Michael Don and my wife. Like, we had like 8 people. And so half the time we were talking during the commercials. But
yeah,
it seemed like movies were the big ripoffs.
I'm staring at my 43 props and seeing which ones could have potential to win during the commercials. I'm no fun at these things.
Did Corolla talk about making the goalposts higher or no?
There was that one. Was it an extra point? Yeah.
Yeah.
Give them the Chiefs 28. That almost, we stopped them in his tracks. But yeah, it's more about receptions Corolla was there. There was good food, I will say it. My cousin Jimmy's, David Chang, Adam Perry Lang. We just ate, and then Jimmy ordered pizza at the end of the night. So wow. I got to hit this diet. Yeah, it's going to be bad. It's bad going forward.
All right, so going forward, are the new odds out yet? Are you ready to start thinking about 2023? Do you have any thoughts yet?
Yeah, go ahead.
On FanDuel, the Chiefs are the favorites at 6-1. The Bills are looking for your sucker bet money at +850. Mm-hmm. Eagles 9-1, Bengals 9-1, Niners 9-1. Your Cowboys, speaking of sucker bets, 15-1. And then going down the line, we got a little Chargers 20-1. The Lions are 25-1 for some reason. And then the one that surprised me was the Jets. Pretty high, 25-1, considering it does seem like the Rodgers thing is kind of looming for them or somebody.
Yes, what is that? That's 10? They're a top 9 or 10 team?
Yeah, so Chiefs, Bills, and 5. Yeah, they have the 11th best odds.
Well, here's why I know you say the Cowboys are a joke, and they are, but if Rodgers goes to the Jets, this is the NFC. It's even worse than it was last year, right? And I know we have the best team in our division in the NFC, but I'll take my chances with the Cowboys to win 10 or 11 games as a wild card and win a road game, and then you're with everybody else. But my pick, I think, right now,
sad.
If you don't,
that was
now,
sad.
If you don't,
that was a sad
if you don't hold it against me. Hey, listen, we knocked Tom Brady out of the box. Nobody can do that. Patriots tried to do that. They couldn't even do that. That's the second greatest feat next to the Chiefs Super Bowl championship this year. But I would go Bengals 9-1. I really like that team. I like how physical they are. I think they were, as you mentioned, very close to making it to the finals this year. And I think it's going to be Burrow, Mahomes back and forth for the next few years.
Yeah, if we're looking at the top five, all the odds under 10-1, the Bengals 9-1. I like that one. The Jets, the problem with the Jets, betting on them is they're the Jets.
Right.
They haven't won since 1970. That would be a problem. Mm-hmm. I'm looking like long shots. The Pats are 55-1. The Titans are 70-1.
All right.
And the team with the worst odds is the Colts, 280-1. Atlanta, 75-1. Yeah. None of those great watches.
The Jets thing is hilarious that they don't know their quarterback and they're a top 9 team to win. Like Rodgers is doing 4 nights of darkness or 4 days of darkness, and then he has diarrhea all over himself, and he's going to run out and say, I know it came to me. I'm going to be a Jet. Like, that's what's going to happen to propel them to a championship.
I like when people act super weird and then lecture you about it. Cause it is the thing, like, maybe you should try to be more enlightened before you start. That's always a great move. It's like, I'm hanging upside down from my shed. And people pour White Claw on me for 3 straight days. Maybe you should try it before you judge. It's like, I'm actually not going to try that.
You got a nod. You got a nod. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're onto something here, killer. Good.
No, thanks. Yeah, this has been a banner year so far. I mean, we found out Prince Harry almost hosted Saturday Night Live. That was another thing that happened. 2023 is getting super weird. We've had all these unidentified objects flying around, getting shot down. Like, what's happening this year?
I don't like that. Unless Prince Harry's in one of them. When we shoot him down. If he hosts SNL, it's going to be your fault. Like, he'll have gotten the push to do it from you. You know
one of the writers needs to tape, if he's actually in the writer's room on the Monday and they're pitching sketches, then somebody's got to break out the cell phone and tape that. No, right. I'm not sure I like that one. It doesn't tickle my fancy.
You got 8 months to work on the accent. It's coming along.
Is there an accent camp I could go to?
I think it's it's half cryo, half accent, British accent.
Oh man, no, Sal, it's all about the infrared sauna right now.
What?
Yeah,
you went to heat?
Yeah, infrared sauna is now -150 over cryo. Cryo's +130.
So is it the same?
It's so idea good for us old guys, Sal.
And it shocks your body into rejuvenating.
No, you
shit
sweat out all the bad shit in your body. And for us, like, we sweat out all the bad poisons that we're old, and it gets your heart going, and it's got a lot
really?
Of benefits. Google.
Say it again. Infrared what?
Infrared sauna. You go and get it to like 150 and you just sweat your balls off.
How long?
Just sweat
long
stuff
for?
Out. You know, you can do 30 minutes, 35 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Gets hot.
Well, cryo is like 3 minutes, right?
Cryo's 3 minutes. Sauna is like the Aaron Rodgers dark room a little bit, where you go on a spiritual journey.
But old men also just die in those things, right? They just
that's
they just
true. I have that
shovel have the body too. Out. Yeah,
right. Right. Yeah, that's looming as well. Yeah, we had my dad and my uncles visiting. I have my uncle Bob, who was born in 19, mm-hmm. I guess 40. So he's I think like 72 or 73 now. Playing tennis. Played two sets of tennis with them today. Got the knee replacements. Just flying around, looking like Uncle Bob. It was like old times for us.
Really? Nice.
Beat my wife and my cousin Pete. But so we had that. And then we had my dad, who's like, 15 months older and is just cold all the time now. I don't know. Does your dad have a thing like this now when they hit a set? He's just freezing.
Oh, yeah.
So just constantly, like, can we turn the heat on? He's wearing a jacket inside, just cold constantly.
So your uncle won't go to pickleball? Like, is that is...
No, he plays pickleball. He likes
it. Oh, he does. Interesting.
Yeah. But he looks down on pickleball. He knows tennis is the real thing.
That's what I figure. It's like skiers with how they look at snowboarders for the most
exactly.
part.
Right? That's a great analogy. Thanks. Except some of the pickleball people still seem to think that this is going to be a professional sport at some point.
Oh, yeah.
That some of them want you to be betting on pickleball. We'll be like, oh, who do you got in the pickleball quarterfinals tonight? I promise you, Sal and I will not have... Even you won't bet on pickleball. I don't see that happening.
Don't say that. Depends. If it starts the day after the Super Bowl, I might. You have a bigger problem. You're going to have people real hounding you to invest in the league or a team. I think it's going to be a problem.
No, the answer is no.
Just tell them right now, no. All right.
So what are we going to bet on now? We got basketball. You got March Madness. This is the point of the season where you throw yourself into the Atlantic 10 and the ACC and the Mountain West and all these college hoops. You talk yourself into the women's tournament. That's always one of my favorite Sal moments when you're like, oh, I had Rutgers last night in a parlay.
We still have 4 weeks to the, 3 weeks maybe to the conference tournaments. Got hockey, got EPL on Saturdays. I like waking up. You don't bet the soccer. You don't bet the EPL on Saturday, right?
No, the EPL's out. I'm not betting baseball either this year. I'm done with doing my two future bets. I'm out.
Really? All right.
Yeah, I'm just out.
Bet the unders. I might bet under home runs for all the sluggers. We'll win, I promise.
Under home runs? Oh, because you figure somebody's going to get hurt?
Of course. I figure, it just happens. People that they're set for 162 games and there's injuries and slumps and stuff like that. But what I'm mad at you about is you texted me and my cousin Jimmy and Chris Bianco months ago and said, Kevin Durant's coming to the Suns. Get ready. You're going to sell him lots of pizza. And he went to the Suns and we didn't do anything about it. I mean, it happened months after you said it, but now they're 5-1.
I know. I blew it. Well, I knew I had a real feeling last weekend, and they were 12-1 for a couple of days, probably 4 days there, and now it's dropped big time. The more I look at the trade though, and the more I think about it, I actually don't think they're a great bet. Now, 12-1 would have been a nice bet, but they're the favorite right now. They're +240. Durant's still hurt. He hasn't even come back yet. He just had that MCL injury. He's repeatedly gotten hurt. And Chris Paul, I don't trust. He's 37. What's he going to look like? They don't have a ton of depth. And I think they're throwing people off the scent of some of the other teams.
They won't ever put odds on this, but Booker, Paul, Durant, how long do they play together? How many? Forget about the regular season.
Oh, 2.5 years over under, something like that.
You could do that. Or what percentage of playoff games do they play together? We could start there. 54.5?
That would be a really fun future bet.
Yeah.
Just how many games are they going to play together as a threesome? How many games will they physically suit up and start a game together, regular season or playoffs? And the answer would be, the over-under is 110. Would you go under or over? Yeah, because Chris Paul could be gone in a year.
Yeah,
here's what I don't get,
lot.
Though, Sal.
Go ahead.
So in the West... First of all, Dallas has the fourth best odds. People are operating like Kyrie is going to be normal for 4 months. Good luck. Please, I'll book your bets for Dallas.
Right.
Golden State has the sixth best odds now in the West. Hmm. They're 9-1 to win the West. And part of it is because, their seed's going to be low and they're going to have to be on the road. But man, to me, it's Phoenix, Denver, and Golden State, and then maybe Memphis. I mean, I don't know how much leeway we can give Memphis here, where they just keep losing and losing and losing these high profile right. games over the last couple of weeks. But
now, so you're not worried as much about seeding right now, right? Because Curry is out through the All-Star break and maybe beyond. So if they get a fifth or sixth seed, you don't care.
Yeah, out of all the West teams, the only one that has a legitimate home court advantage, I think, is Denver because of the altitude, and they're just really hard to play there. You don't want to go there four times in a 7-game series. Other than that, Golden State, they can go into any of these places and win. And then on the East, I just think the Bucks should be favored. I know the Celtics have a better record, but the Celtics on FanDuel, they're +115. Mm-hmm. For the East, and Milwaukee's +170, and that makes no sense to me.
I got to hand it to the league. There, as much as I hate it that like three guys could text each other and it changes the course of, you know, a GM can get fired as a result.
Yeah.
The owner, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to feel bad. They're going to sell their team regardless of what it looks like. The Nets for $2 billion more than they paid, right? So it doesn't matter. But the GMs have to be pulling their hair out. Like, really, like, check on you. Happy? Are you okay? Can I see your text? That You're not texting James Harden, are you? Like, they could just make just any kind of coup anytime. But even all that said, like, this normally, that trade, Durant going and Kyrie going to the West would cripple the East. But Celtics, Bucks, Sixers being in charge there, just, it's good, right? Like, years ago, this would have been it. Like, the East sucks. They have zero yeah. or one. Oh,
yeah, it
would have
been like mid-2010s. Yeah. Where it's like LeBron and nobody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Cleveland looks like they got Danny Green today, and they're 13-1. Mm-hmm. And then the zombie Heat, which just, I don't know if you've followed like the Heat season, but they had another one yesterday. They're down 9 in the Magic with like 3 minutes left. They somehow mm-hmm. win. Like, they just like pull these stupid games out over and over and over again. Nobody wants to see them in a series. So we have that. I guess we have we have the Masters coming up.
Some That's golf coming up. Yeah, House will be happy about that. There's always MMA on Saturday nights. Got to get you into soccer during the day on Saturday. Boxing still sucks. I don't know. Who are we kidding? I mean, really, the key is like they're going to shove USFL and XFL down our throats, right? And we're going to be interested in 3 weeks.
No, I don't.
That's going to be that.
I don't do that. I don't do the non-NFL. You do that.
I love the way football looks on my TV. What do you want? But they're not going to have a Johnny Manziel or a Terrell Owens who really wouldn't make it in the NFL, but at least it'd be interesting to watch. They don't have any of those guys this year.
Well, shit, the next time we do football,
yeah,
DirecTV is gone, right? It's
right.
It'll be YouTube TV, and mm-hmm. everything will be streaming. And instead of complaining about the refs, we'll be complaining about our Wi-Fi going down and we missed the fourth quarter because, you know, some jackass backed into a tree three blocks away and I lost my Wi-Fi for an hour and feel like, hey, you know, it's fun, cable and satellite. We're headed for that. It's gonna there'll be a disaster on a Sunday, one of those Sundays.
Well, it won't, not for us specifically. I don't even know if you want to announce this yet, but Simmons and I are hosting the Red Zone, the YouTube version of Red Zone. So that'll be good.
We are.
Don't laugh, stupid. Have them make us an offer. Don't laugh at that. Come on, people. That'd be great. But bother your YouTube subscriber.
Does that mean I have to work on a Sunday? That sounds terrible.
We're doing it anyway. Cut it out. We'll do it from your infrared chamber. How about that?
Does my quarterback have to be Mac Jones again?
No.
Although now we have a real coaching staff. We hired like an offensive coordinator. We hired an offensive line coach. Things are moving up for the Pats.
I was
going to
ask you, who, if you could get one player this year, who would it be? Who would you want?
I really like T. Higgins. I wouldn't like him if he was $30 million a year like Tyreek Hill, but I think T. Higgins is good.
He'd excite you the most. Yeah.
Well, I just think of the available. We need like a receiver who can go and get the ball unless they draft it.
What about Josh Jacobs? Boy, that Pacheco.
I wouldn't pay running backs.
Yeah, I guess
can't do that.
Got Jacobs, Barkley, potentially.
Nah, you can't pay a running back.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster. There's just too many Kenneth Gainwells and Pacheco's, and you get Jerick McKinnon because somebody else, you got him for like a 7th round pick, or he got waived, or it's like you can.
But if you got Jimmy G, I think Jimmy G is the one you'd be most excited about. If you had one player,
I actually think they're looking at it as we did Mac a disservice last year, and he actually might be better than you think. All his teammates mm-hmm. love him.
Really?
So we were watching. There's a couple plays today. My dad and all my uncles were all huge Pats fans. We're like, oh, Mac would have gotten sacked on that. Mac mm-hmm. wouldn't have been able to get out of that. You start like judging your own quarterback by all that other right. stuff. I don't know where you are. Where are you mentally with Dak?
I was the man of the year. That's as prestigious as award. By the way, they boo him. He's the man of the year. He's charitable. He went through hell to get in this league.
That was a Philly thing though, right?
Well, why? So there really that many Philly fans there, I guess. How dare they boo
him? I think there were. Yeah, jerks. That was pretty.
Jerks. I'm okay with him, honestly. I look at the rest of the league, and like I said, Aaron Rodgers going away. I am okay. Look at the other years, his other full years. He didn't turn the ball over as much as this year. If he does it again, we have a different story. But
do you want to fail another quiz?
Yeah. Can we talk about Fangio first or after?
Right after.
What the hell was that? Let's talk after.
I guess Fangio did really work. How many people have won two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, and two MVPs?
I think you... how many people?
I'll just tell you.
Are they all quarterbacks? It's three?
Montana, Brady, Montana, Mahomes. Manning. That's it.
Oh, I thought Manning would be in there.
Montana, Brady, Mahomes. Because Manning won that second Super Bowl, but the defense won it. He didn't do anything.
That is a very Your good boss. List, Phil. That's a very good list.
That's a nice list.
League. Yeah.
Eli's not on that list.
No? Tom Coughlin?
I looked a few times. I didn't see him on that list.
Stop it, baby. Stop it.
No, Montana, Brady, Mahomes. That's it. Pretty good list.
Wow. It's great.
You want to do Parent Corner?
Yeah, let's do it.
Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax lets you shop your way online or at a store near you. And when you finally find your perfect match, get a 30-day money-back guarantee so you can feel confident you found the right car for you, or return it if you need to for up to 1,500 miles. See CarMax.com for details. CarMax, car buying reimagined. All right, go ahead.
So every single year, our buddy Daniel, God bless his soul. He runs this. I have too much paperwork, right? So I have these 43. Can you see how many props I have here?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm staring at him, and I stare at him, and I stare at him all day. So we get to Jimmy's, and I'm like, Daniel, you're running the pool. He's like, I already got it going. I'm like, okay, great. So we have to sell 100 squares, right? And he sold like six. And I'm like, oh, man, it's $20? He's like, yeah. I said, it's got to be 10. There's not $2,000 in this room. There's 1,000. Yeah. He said, yeah, but with Venmo and everything. I'm like, all right, well, maybe he's got a point. With 3 minutes left, Chris Stapleton is walking out with his guitar, and we need 34 boxes. We have 34 boxes left. And so that's it. So now it's just me, and it's Daniel and Jimmy, and we're buying like 10 more each, and it sucks. And, you know, Daniel's going up to people who don't like bet football because there's always those fans there or friends there. And they're like, yeah, I just don't trust this. It's like, no, it starts off even. We haven't even drawn the numbers yet. Like, yeah, I just don't know enough about it. And it's very frustrating. So we end up buying all the boxes. And I think I bought like 16 boxes, but only had money for 10 boxes, right? So I'm like, I had 16 boxes. I only had money for 13. So I owed $60. So I'm writing all the kids' names in here, right? But then it's like, there's other kids too. It's like with the same names. So Will Arnett has a son named Archie and I have a son named Archie. And now we have to go back and figure all that out. And that's which one's who's Archie. So anyway, I write all the kids' names in. My Jack wins the first quarter, $250. And I give him 190 because I still owe 60. Now he didn't do anything. He didn't put money up. He didn't even write his own name into the box. I put it up there and he says to me, he's like, okay, but you got to owe me the other $60. I said, why do I have to owe you the $60? This is, I didn't have to write your name at all in here. He's like, yeah, but that's just how it is. First quarter gets $250. So I don't know what to do. I don't like that at all. And we're going to a minor league hockey game in Palm Springs this weekend, and he's going to have to buy his own jersey. I don't like that stuff.
That's the best when the kids think even though you spotted them that they still get the full figure.
Yeah. that's a true test, right? Ben's what would that, Ben have like, done? He would do
Ben's
that
done
too?
That like he's the master of that.
Yeah.
My 17 and a half year old daughter, who on the one hand wants to be treated like an adult, but on the other hand does not act like an adult.
Right.
So there's been a few times where, you know, in the driveway, it's like, I got to move Zoe's car. And you get in the car and there's like, you know, 12 miles left of gas. I'm like, oh, that's not good. So you're going to get some gas? Yeah, you know, I know I'm down low. Going the next time, it's like, there's like 8 miles left. Hey, you're low on gas. It finally happened on Saturday. She ran out of gas. She had this event at the in the Palisades and was driving back and just ran out of gas and called us, I think expecting us to come get her. And my wife's like, nope, she's gonna have to figure this out. She does that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Zoe goes and there's a gas station like pretty close that she runs to and gets, you know, one of those cans, fills up like, I don't know, 40 gallons of gas and one of those red things they give her and runs back and fills it.
40 gallons? What?
For 40 miles of gas.
Basically. Oh, yeah.
So just enough to drive around. So then my Uncle Bob is with her a little bit later today and she's low on gas again. And he's like, why are you low on gas again? Didn't you get the gas? And she's like, no, I haven't gotten it yet.
Wow.
But why haven't you gotten it yet? Didn't you get the gas? When you went back to the gas station to return the thing, didn't you get the gas then? She's like, oh, I didn't do that yet. The can is still in my truck. I think she thought they just gave her the can.
Wow.
So now she's driving around this can in the back that probably has leftover gas. She smells like gas and she has like 30 miles left. So Bob makes her go to get gas.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same person who's like, I want to be treated like an adult. Let me sleep over at my boyfriend's house. Like, no, you can't. You're not an adult. That's not happening.
You know what she is, though? She is a gambler. That's a gambler, right? That's what a senior in high school girl.
Someone who's just completely unaware of what's going on in the dashboard.
It's a couple things, but she's a gambler. She is.
Yeah. So it's really like, you know, she's going to be in college in the beginning of August, and it's just this whole, we have 7 months basically to really whip her into shape.
She's
going to be 18 in May, but man, I don't feel like this is the last time she's going to run out of gas.
Well, the good news is you're not giving her a car. Yeah, she's a gambler, but you're not giving her a car, right? First year?
No.
You are?
Yeah. No.
All right. You're fine with that. Someone else will run out of gas.
Fine for other stuff. Have you ever run out of gas?
I did a couple of years ago. I don't even know where I was headed, but thank God I was in a not terrible neighborhood and I just called AAA. But yeah, it's embarrassing. It is stupid.
I had one coming back from Vegas once.
Oof.
That was 50-50 getting to where the gas station was, where it was like, it was just the three hashes.
Yeah.
Where there wasn't even like the 0 miles left. It was just the hashes. And I was like, wow, I might actually run out of gas on the five in the middle of nowhere where it's like 105 degrees in Georgia. That was my scariest, but I've never run out of gas.
I think one thing I will say to people, at least in my cars, I think the common exception is if you get to 0 miles, they give you an extra five. Nope. I don't know who made that up. Someone who has just a sick sense of humor, but no, that's not the case. Zero is zero. You got to get the shot off before then.
Hey, Kyle. I'm sure you've run out of gas at least once, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna say over under.
Dead wrong.
Huh?
Dead wrong.
Never ran out of gas. Very upset about this.
Never ran out of gas.
No, never.
Wow. I would have said like -1.5 over under for Kyle running out of gas over the course of his life.
Lost my keys for good, but never ran out of gas.
So wait a minute. So the many times that you woke up on the side of the road at 5 a.m, it wasn't because the gas ran out. I love Kyle. I'm gonna miss him. Yeah. I feel like our parent corner should have been better in the season finale. Like, Zoe got
great.
Zoe
Jack's demanding $60 that he never spent. And my daughter ran out of gas.
It's the end of the season. Maybe Zoe should have gotten Archie pregnant. We should have made something up. It is 2023.
They are high school seniors. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
The only other thing is my son is now playing lacrosse and I just don't understand it. It's the first time as a parent that either of my kids is playing a sport that I don't watch or understand in any way. Like, I don't understand in any way. Do you understand lacrosse at all?
A little bit. I think so. Isn't it just like soccer, hockey, just to advance down the field? And
yeah, he said it's a little like basketball where you have to guard a man and he's playing defense and he's just hitting people and having a great time. But I'm going to be going to these games.
Let's do that. I want to go with you. I want to go to a lacrosse game and you go to one of Archie's rugby games and we'll compare, because I am lost with the rules there. There's something about moving the ball. It is football where you have to get down the field.
I don't understand it at all.
But you can't throw forward. It's all backward passes, which makes your brain blow up, because wait, why can't I throw forward if I'm trying to go forward? But let's do that. Let's do a home and home.
I really want to understand lacrosse better. Part of me wonders if it's like hockey. I really wanted, when I was going to the King games,
mm-hmm,
it's like, I'm going to really understand hockey. And then you watch it and you're like,
but what don't you understand? Are they calling penalties that you don't understand? But otherwise,
no,
it's just
like, is there a higher strategy to what's going on? Or is it just, is what it is? That's what I want to figure out with lacrosse.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right, that's it for Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. If you're looking for a ride that won't break your stride or your budget, CarMax can help you find that perfect car for you that raises the bar without raising your budget, because all their cars are CarMax certified and priced just right. With a nationwide inventory to choose from, you're sure to find a car that's right for you and right in your price range. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax, car buying reimagined. So, Cuz, before we go, you were at Super Bowl week all week.
Yeah.
In Arizona, you did the Radio Row thing, I'm guessing. Any highlights? Any great run-ins?
I met Dr. Chow, our buddy Lombardi.
Injury doctor?
Yes, yes. Yeah. He's available. He would like to come on. He has a lot of thoughts on Mahomes. He assured me that Mahomes would play, and he was right. So Mahomes played our boy Lombardi. I don't know. I mean, everybody's there. It's just crazy. I mean, really, there's like 150 media outlets there, and some of them try to put up lights when it doesn't really matter. All they have is like a cubicle. But yeah. I don't know. That's funny. I saw Dak. I saw CeeDee Lamb. I saw all my guys. But I did a prop bit with Kenny Mayne and Mina Kimes and others. But it's fun. It's below you though. You will never go out there.
It's not below me. I did it too many times. I'm not going to Arizona again. That's where the Tyreek catch happened. I don't want to go back.
Oh, that's right.
Watch a football game there.
Here's my highlight. I see Kevin Clark of The Ringer going up an escalator. I'm going down. We all have these lanyards, right? So what do? I grab onto his lanyard as he's going up. And now I'm pulling and pulling and pulling. And like the other Ringer guys are like, what the hell's going on? And I think some of them saw it was me and then some of them didn't. And then finally I let go when he was about four steps ahead of me. But it was very traumatic for him, if you want to ask him.
Hey, what was Bianco Pizza just absolutely insane? I read there was an article. It was 4.5 hour waits for Bianco Pizza.
Crazy. And Paul McCartney was there one night. I mean, it's great as always, as we talk about. But and that really got everybody going, like with is Paul McCartney? Oh, he must be playing at the halftime show. And he didn't. He was just
sitting in
pizza.
A luxury box.
Yeah. He wanted to watch a game and eat pizza. So good for you.
Did people like Arizona as a Super Bowl location or no?
I think they do. It's so spread out though now, right? So you have people staying in like Scottsdale or like 40. If you want to golf, you could stay like 35 minutes from Glendale and Phoenix. And it really is spread out. But I think we got to do that tournament. That golf tournament is crazy.
The Phoenix. See, like, yeah, yeah.
It's so nuts. Yeah, the waste management. That 16th hole. It's like, how do they allow for it? Where people are just screaming and booing. Like that 16th hole, they boo anything that's not a hole in one. It's spectacular. So
it's becoming like the fifth major.
Yeah.
I thought Arizona was a pretty bad Super Bowl location because of the spread out thing. That was my memory from the Pats Giants one, was people were in Scottsdale and Phoenix. And if you basically were stuck where you were Thursday, Friday, Saturday, everything was like so hard to get to.
Well, next year we got to go, right? We have to see how.
Well, next year's Vegas.
That's what I mean. We have to see how they do this.
Even Ben wants to go to that.
Oh, yeah. We'll do
That'll it. Be great. I'm with you. I can't wait. All right, Cuz. Great year for us. Congrats on hitting the Chiefs.
Thank you.
I ended up with a losing $1 million picks year. I ended up losing like 260,000. Yeah, I got killed in the last Super Bowl.
I think you could finance that. I don't know. So you could take a look. The government's very lenient now these days. I'm sorry about Jody Fortson, everyone. Terrible Gary Russell pick. I'll be better.
Well, you'll come on at some point during the NBA playoffs, but we had a really good over-unders year. That was like one of the legacies of this season. And we really, really did great. I would love to continue the momentum, but
let's do
fun
it.
As always. This was our 7, 8, 9.
Is next year 15?
No, I think this was, we started in 07. So how many years is that?
Oh,
this was our 16th year.
Oh man.
So all next year's 17. Yeah. We were able to legally drive this year with this.
Wow. All right. I'm going to hit an infrared sauna all year and you are going to see how rejuvenated I am come September.
Telling you, man, go Google the infrared sauna. all right, cuz, for the last time this season, good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.
All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks to Cousin Sal. Thanks to Kyle Creighton for producing, as always. And I'll see you on this feed this week, and I'll see you in the Rewatchables Monday night, Sleepless in Seattle. Stay tuned for that.